Good afternoon. You're listening to Gambling with an Edge. Now here are your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest today goes by the name of Stefan. He's a Greek blackjack player currently in the United States. Stefan, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Welcome. Thank you very much, guys. It's a big honor to be at your show, and it's a big experience for me to be in the country that blackjack was born.
Uh-huh. So how long have you been counting cards, and how did you get started?
Okay. I count cards almost 9-10 years professional. And what forced me to count cards was my losing times. What I mean, I was so boring of losing money, and something deep inside of me was telling me that you are the worst player that ever stepped into casino. So slowly, and with the help of internet, I discovered, first of all, basic strategy. And then, wow, there is something that you have to do. It's not so much a matter of luck, this game. So, you know, one thing brings another. I discover basic strategy. I discover that this game has memory. What goes to the past affects the future. And slowly, I get inside counting and...
And did you find books? Are the books translated into Greek, or how did that work?
Thanks God, I thanks my parents that they were forcing me when I was a teenager to learn English. So I had the luxury to watch English videos, to buy books from internet, and slowly by myself trying to understand. Of course, I had some difficulties in the beginning because the terms that it's used for blackjack, a lot of things it's mathematical terms, but with the help also with translator, I start to understand what I have to understand. So by myself, through internet and through some books that I was ordering when I was winning money, I was learning more and more and improving my game.
And what was the best book for you, the one that really helped you the most?
The best book for me? Well, I think every book has something to give you. Some books gives you more understanding of the mathematics behind the games. Some books, they give you experience from other players, how to behave inside the casino that you don't have. I think, okay, classic industry is Stanford Wong Professional Blackjack, because he has a lot of data for different games. But I really like Ken Houston Million Dollar Blackjack, or playing Blackjack as a Business. It was a nice book to read. In general, all the books, I like it. I just absorb whatever I can from each book.
And so when you started counting, were you living in Greece at that time, or is that where you started?
Yes, I am born and raised in Greece. And before 10 years, when I suddenly discovered about blackjack, I was in Greece. Only problem that last 20 years in Greece, all the official legal casinos, they are CSM, so no hand-dealt games over there. Luckily and unluckily, I had the luxury to be able to play in illegal casinos with hand-shuffle games. And to be honest, the games were very, very good. It was better from casino, because in the classical game of Greek casinos is 6 deck, 10, 17, that's it, nothing more. But in illegal places, I discover some other things like surrender, like a lottery bet. So slowly, slowly, I start getting more and more into details. I start recognize and understand how to choose the games, what is good for me, what is not good for me. And in the beginning, to be honest, I was lazy. I didn't like to make the study. I didn't like to understand the games. Yeah, I was just like, it's plus one. Okay, I bet I play positive game. No, it doesn't work like this. You have to understand it's not only if it's positive or negative. You have to comprehend a lot of things like what's the long run, the N0, when you will take your money, what variants you are going to handle while you are playing, what money you need behind. It's a lot of things, but it's going to give you the good results.
So these illegal casinos in Greece, what kind of maximum bets did they have? And was there any danger in these casinos? I mean,
yeah.
I have played in illegal casinos in different parts of the world. You also have to deal with cheating, potential cheating.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, this is always a subject. First of all, illegal casinos, because they are afraid, let's say, high rollers, they try to protect their games with a very strict spread, maximum of the table. So most of them, they put maximum bet 100 euro, okay, per hand. The good thing is that you can spread up to 2-3 hands at the same time and be able to drop more money at the table. But again, it's not big enough.
So you, as your bankroll grew, you decided you needed to travel outside Greece?
Yeah, of course, outside Greece, I would find better games with a bigger maximum on the table. But outside Greece, I find a lot of casinos, especially ex-Yugoslavian casinos, ex-Soviet Union Russian casinos, that they were cheating.
So what it was kind of cheating?
Yeah.
What kind of cheating?
What kind of cheating? Okay, I'm going to tell you the simple things like short deck. Okay, casino that always the count goes positive, but you never get this blackjack, you never get the dealer bust with two face cards, for example. And you try to cut with shuffle tracking to find that small segment to bring the good cards for you, but somehow it disappears. And of course, when you go in the morning to see with your own eyes the cards, someone magically, before 2 minutes, he has played before you and they already shuffle. So this is the very classic. But there are a lot of ways of cheating. First of all, they can cheat you by wrong payouts. If you are not experienced and prepared to take notice if the payouts of a dealer deliberately is correct or wrong, you can lose your gain, your profit from there. Another way, very, very simple, but very, very smart. Once I step inside casino, my first thing was to see if all the cards are on the table. So I passed kind of fast in front of the table. I stand for a moment and I start asking the dealer, is this blackjack? It's 21. Yeah, yeah. And the moment I have conversation with the dealer, my eyes fall into the cards. Aces, everything there, faces, yeah, 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 yeah.
The cards were spread face up where you could see them?
Exactly, like the normal casino process. So I was like, okay, let's shuffle, I want to play. And the dealer, of course, he flips with his cut card all the open cards face down and he starts shuffling. What was happening in that casino was that underneath each five that it was spread on the table, there was another five.
So but twice as many fives in the deck.
Exactly. But it was.
That'll do it.
Yeah. It was enough to give me high counts most of the time. Also, another very popular technique that has caused a lot of bankrolls, because I know people that they travel from the States to Europe to play, and they were destroyed by the cheating that I'm going to refer, is what? And that was a legend. For many years, I was hearing also by myself from other players that they do something with the decks, and I was like, come on, you just have to comprehend variance. No, variance is a very good thing to understand, but sometimes can be a trap. Sometimes they can steal you and blame it to the variants, that I just have bad variants. So what's the story? In some casinos in Europe, especially in Prague, Czechoslovakia, what's the story? The cards, the shape of them, it's little different. For example, aces and small cards like 3, 4, 5, 6, they have a different shape that allows the dealer, when he shuffles the cards, to always shuffle between aces and small cards. From this, you understand that it's very dangerous, because first of all, they destroy all the opportunity for you to have a blackjack. And another group that they shuffle all the time together is neutral cards, like 7, 8, or 9 for someone who counts high-low, with face cards. So you have two kind of scenario while playing inside the game. Catching small cards with aces all the time, the count goes up, and when you start pushing bets, you see everything only face cards and neutral cards. It's very, very dangerous. You cannot understand with your eye. You are playing less than, let's say, 1 meter from the dealer, but you cannot understand that there is a different dimension in some cards.
So
that allows.
Yes, yeah. In Magic, this is called a stripper deck. And So in this case, the aces and the small cards would be a little bit thicker, I mean, wider than the other cards, maybe only just like a 16th of an inch, so that when you grab them from the edge, from the side, and pull, you're pulling those cards out and stripping them into one group of cards together. That's very clever. This is the first time I've heard of a place doing that. But that would be devastating.
And to confuse you, don't imagine that all six decks, it's from this kind of cards. Maybe four decks is from this kind of cards, and they just leave one deck just to give you the illusion that sometimes, I hit some blackjacks, because it would be very unnatural. In all the time that you play, you never have a blackjack. You never see this combination. No, they allow one deck to make normal results. But the rest of the cards, they are like you explained, like stripped deck. It's saved.
Yep.
Something like that.
Also, you mentioned in Prague, I've also heard, if you're not paying attention, a dealer who will push a hand that you're supposed to win, or take a hand that's supposed to be a push. And a lot of counters that don't have a lot of experience, they are so wrapped up in keeping their count and figuring out what their next bet that they're not really paying attention to what the dealer does. And that'll just crush you if they're taking those bets like that.
It's true. There are dealers that they are especially experienced and trained to deal with counters. There are experienced dealers that you cannot keep up with them if you are not very experienced, if your mentality is not clear, If, for example, you are tired and you are chasing some money or you are chasing to put hours, you can fall to this trap.
Yeah.
You can fall to this trap.
And did you ever, how did the casino react if you started correcting the dealer? Because they'll try to do it every hand if they can. Did the casino back you off when they saw that you weren't going to fall for that, or how did the casino deal with it? Or did you just leave?
Most of the times, I just leave. I try to avoid conflict and heat. If something I don't like, I just leave. Blackjack, from the nature by itself, it's kind of stressful game. I don't need more stress interaction with the dealers and the casino. If something is not comfortable for me, thanks but no thanks, I just go grab a coffee. And I think it's a small detail that came with my experience. I remember when I was more young, my first years that I was playing, the only thing that it cared for me was to sit on the table and play blackjack. Nothing more. Do I play correct? Am I tired? Do I attract a lot of heat? I didn't care. I just sitting on the table. But with experience and time over time, I discover that you must control the game. You must control your job.
Did you run into any kind of dangerous situations?
Well, in illegal casinos, first of all, the guy who is playing next to you, very easily, he's a drug dealer, he's a pimp, he's, I don't know what he is, and he doesn't appreciate hitting soft 18 versus a 10. He does get crazy. And, you know, a lot of times things can go ugly, a lot of times you can get physical inside casino. Yeah, I had some bad experience. I had some bad experience with other players. You know, illegal casinos, they have some kind of security, but they don't want really to mess up the things. They're just like, you find solution by yourself.
So the problems were from other players, not from the casino itself.
Yeah, no, most of the casinos, the only problem that they are going to give you is with their ways to show you that you are not welcome anymore. And this is penetration. First of all, generally in Europe and in other countries, the casino's classic benchmark, let's say, it's 1.5 deck, they cut off. You will not find something better. But from the moment you start raising little your bets, you see very, very fast that the inspector, the guy who is between tables and checking the action, will give signal to the dealer, but, you know, cut him two decks. If you continue your game, they will cut you 2.5, three decks, 3.5. Yeah, the sky is the limit. So
never more than six.
Yeah, never more than six. Yeah, never more than six. And at that moment, because the most important thing, my biggest problem when I was playing everywhere was the penetration. The moment I was raising my bets, next shoe, I knew that I will play half shoe. So the solution was very clear for me, shuffle tracking. I start from the beginning. I bought new books. I saw videos. I make hundreds of hours with practice. I even beg my fiance, that she's pit boss in casino, to make practice with me about shuffle tracking. And I can claim that it's one of the most necessary and important weapons that a counter, in Europe at least, he needs it. You cannot play just with counting. Penetration is destroying the game.
Are the shuffles there one pass?
Well, it depends. Some shuffles are one pass. They just rifle, strip, one pass. Some other shuffles are two pass level, but it's not so difficult, or at least in my mind, it's not so difficult. It's matter of training. It's matter of training. And the most important skill that you must have is to be able to calculate with your eyes. You must have very good vision to calculate exactly the segments that you are looking for. And of course, you need a lot of training and exercise at your room. You have to learn what shuffle they use. You have to do it by yourself. You have to make map. You have to do it at your room every day, practice, and after go down to casino and apply it.
I'm guessing that you are very disappointed with the shuffles you're finding in Las Vegas.
Well, yeah. From one side, the penetration here is excellent. I could never believe that I'm going to play 6 deck games that they dealt 5.5. It's 85-90%.
You found that in Las Vegas? 5.5 out of 6?
Yeah, most of the casinos they dealt like this on the strip. Yeah.
Is that a 6-5 game?
No, 3-2 with surrender, sir.
Wow, things must have improved greatly. So they many of the casinos are only dealing, first of all, many of them go into 8 decks, and a lot of them, you know, like last I was in the Venetian, the whole main floor was 6-5.
Yeah, this is true what you say, Richard. Most of the casinos, the big casino of the strips, their games are just garbage. They are 6-5, no surrender, 8 decks, I don't know what else. But some casinos, they have these good rules, and the penetration is very good. I tell you again, it's minimum 5 decks. You are going to play minimum 5 decks. And some casinos, they are cutting less than 1 deck. Less than 1 deck. Yeah. But, I just want to say something. First of all, I want to make clear myself. I'm not a conspiracy theory fan. I don't want to create a negative atmosphere or say something wrong. I just say my observation, my humble observation. Two games that they are shuffled with ASM, they are full of clumping, full of clumping. I want to make myself clear again. I'm not saying that casinos are cheating. I'm not saying that the machines are doing something against the players and the counters. My humble observation is that I see a lot of clumping, a lot of clumping. That's it.
I think that's random.
Yeah, I totally agree. My sample hours is small. Okay, maybe it's something that I saw it randomly, but I just say my humble opinion. I am winning in all these games, but it's kind of different, let's say. Even when I see some casinos that I have discovered that they have hand shuffle and level 1 pass, first pass, it's kind of different the game. But anyway, I don't want to get inside theory, conspiracy, and things like that. It was just my observation.
Is this your first trip to Las Vegas?
It's my first trip in the United States. It's my first time in the United States. I came directly to Las Vegas. Everything seems that they have jumped out of the movie. Everything for me is crazy. Everything. I think that I'm going to see Robert De Niro or someone from, like, hey, come with me to the back room. Everything is crazy. But it's beautiful. It has something unique, this country. It's beautiful.
Is this your last trip to Vegas?
Probably yes. For blackjack, probably yes. If in few years from now someone get married, maybe we'll go for bachelor party in Las Vegas. But for card counting, yeah. I will stay here more 2-3 days because I had a lot of backoffs from various casino. From what I understand, my photo is just spreading around some casinos.
Yeah, communication so, here in Las Vegas is very good among the casinos. And most of the full-time card counters that I talk to think Vegas is kind of one of the worst places in the country to be playing.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's a short thing. It's for a short period of time. It's a short period of time.
So you're going to travel around the United States and sample some of the other blackjack venues.
Exactly. I'm going to other places near here, more far from here. Generally, I want to explore. I want to travel. I have a luxury, but I'm not permanent residence here. So I don't need to cover or something. I'm just going to go inside casino, hit them. Okay, end of story. Bye-bye. Try another casino. I'm not have my longevity issue to protect.
Yeah. Right. Slash and burn.
Very good. So we are going to take a brief commercial break for commercials. We'll be back talking to Stefan in a few minutes.
Okay.
The South Point has more than 10,000 games returning more than 99%. This is more such games than anyone else has. In January, Monday through Thursdays, 3 a.m. to 3 a.m., there is a spin to win promotion. Earn 2,000 video poker points or 500 slot points. You spin a virtual wheel at your machine. Limit 4 spins per day. The points awarded range between 2,500 points worth 750. On the 100,000 points, good luck on that, 300. The free slot play awarded ranges between 5 and 100. The average spin so far is about $12 per spin. On Monday, January 17th, Martin Luther King holiday, there will be a $32,000 hot seat promotion from 8 a.m. to midnight. Every 3 minutes, a lucky person wins $100 in free play. This is also on a day where the spin to win promotion is in place, so double dipping of both promotions at the same time is possible.
Hey, this is Colin from Blackjack Apprenticeship, and if you're serious about card counting, I'm sure Bob and Richard would agree that there are three things every advantage player needs to succeed. You need to gain the edge over the house, you need to manage your bankroll, and you need to get the hours in at the casinos. After a decade of playing professionally and running teams, I wanted to create the exact training, tools, and community I wished I had had for myself and my blackjack teams, so we created the Blackjack Apprenticeship membership. Our membership will help you perfect your game, manage your bankroll, and you'll join a supportive community of like-minded card counters and APs. Find out more at blackjackapprenticeship.com.
VideoPoker.com is the best place to play lots of games. If you sign up for the Gold membership, $8.95 a month or $79.95 a year, this allows you to get correction on most of the games. The game of the week is Good Times Pay. This is 6 to 10 coins per line. There are random multipliers, except it is always a 100% bonus. At South Point, the best game is Quarter Triple Play NSU. This is a 99.73% game if you know how to play it. So it is an even money game with the 0.3 slot club, and you have a 0.6 advantage during the spin to win promotions. And it's $7.50 a game if you max load it. There's one such machine. I've often played it while waiting for another machine to open up. It is a fun way to play an issue. All right. We are back with Stefan.
Hi.
Have you ever played Lost Rebates?
It was a big part of my life to take advantage only from rebates. Loss rebates is one of the best things that someone can experience, in my opinion. But blackjack is not the best game to exploit or take advantage of loss rebates. There are other games that can give you better result, but also blackjack, but it's not the best game.
So are loss rebates common in Europe or the countries? First of all, how many countries have you played in? And were they mostly Europe?
I have played Australia, Egypt, Greece, Romania, Bulgaria, Italia, Croatia, Montenegro, San Marino, Cyprus, the Turkish side. I'm sure that I'm forgetting some more countries, but most of my action was in Europe. Australia blackjack was not good. Egypt has very good blackjack with early surrender on ace. It's very good, the game over there.
So now it's been decades, but in the early days when people played Egypt, there were currency restrictions, so it was a problem getting money out of the country, and the casino would rat you out, so they would know you were coming with cash if you were trying to smuggle it out.
Yeah, it's true. You had a big problem in the customs, but from the moment there are things like MoneyGram or somehow to transfer money, you can just send it before you decide to travel.
Oh, and they allow that.
Yeah. Yeah. And also with Bitcoin these days, or with cryptocurrency in general, they can really, really help you travel without carrying big amounts of cash.
And you haven't had any trouble converting Bitcoin to cash or vice versa in your travels?
To be honest, I haven't done it yet. I have other ways to transfer my money. But from people that they have experience with Bitcoins, no, they didn't have problem. Everything was very clean, all the process. And you was not losing also value of money because the currency ratio changed, you know.
Yeah,
it's something fixed. But yes, this is true. So Egypt has a nice blackjack with surrender on ace. And some other countries like Hungary, Italy, like Romania, they have nice blackjack. In Romania, there was a small difference. When the dealer was shuffling the six decks, inside there was three jokers, you know, the jokers. So each time that the player was receiving the joker, it was automatical win. Yeah.
Combine that with shuffle tracking, that's a pretty good game.
Exactly. It gives you a lot of opportunity. Also, one of the best comps and loss rebet I ever find in my life was in Turkey, Cyprus. It's, you know, Cyprus is a small island between Greece and Turkey. Half of it, it's occupied illegally from the Turks. But okay. I don't want to get into political things. We are neighbors with the Turks. We love them. No problem. So in that part, in the Turkish beautiful side of that island, there are 20, 25 casinos, luxury casinos, but people play big money there. A lot of people, they don't know that Turks, they are crazy with gambling, and you can see them playing a lot of money. We speak up to 1-2 million for the weekend. $1-2 million. Yeah, they play huge money. So you understand, the casino is super luxury. And of course, you just change let's say, $300, and you have everything. You have free buffet, free dinner, free coffee, free alcohol, free rooms to stay. You can have everything that you can ask. And here, before 5 days, I was losing $1,000, and I was like, can I have a painkiller? And the pit boss was like, yeah, yeah, there is a shop near here, you can go and buy. I was like, you don't have a painkiller from the casino to give me? No, we don't. So it was kind of disappointed. It was
part of that though is so I started out as a dealer, and they had little packets of aspirin that the cocktail waitress could give you, and there was a liability problem. So they give it to you, and it turns out you're allergic, and you go to the hospital or something, and then you sue the casino. So they stopped giving it away. It isn't the cost of the painkiller, although nowadays the way they're running some of these casinos, it would be. But it was more a worry about the liability than that. But, yeah, the casinos here have really cut back on what they're willing to give away. It's pretty ridiculous. Yeah.
And this is a very big difference between Europe and the States. For example, with just $500 action in a casino, you are trade like a god. What you want? Food, transportation, room to sleep. You have everything. They also give minimum 20% loss rebate.
What?
20% minimum.
Per day?
Yes, per 24 hours. No need to count cards.
Where is this? This is Cyprus?
Yeah. After the show, I can give you all the details that you want. Beautiful places. Beautiful nature virgin.
You know, I have to say, I know that there are a number of people listening to this show going, I wish this guy would not be talking about this. But, I have to say this, too. When I was traveling a lot, people always said to me, isn't it dangerous? And when you talk about these stories about cheating, for some percentage of the players are all going, oh, I would never travel there. I'm worried about the cheating. I'm worried about the danger. Like Egypt is not a stable country. You know what I mean? So, but I really did not feel unsafe in my travels, except in Russia. That felt dangerous to me.
Welcome to Russia.
Yeah.
Listen. This is up to everybody personal. There are people that they can handle all the situation, and there are people that cannot do it. I don't try to pretend that I am the brave. Okay, sometimes I also find myself in uncomfortable situations. Sometimes inside casinos, they throw me outside, and I didn't have the opportunity to take my chips from the table.
Wait, where did that happen?
I cannot give more details, but this happened to one casino. They were just mad.
So they kept your money?
Yeah.
And you had no recourse?
Yeah, and I had to call the police. And the first reaction of the police was, you know what? You shouldn't be here from the first place. It's kind of dangerous. And now you pull up. Yeah. And I'm like, what you say? It's just a casino. Yeah, but you're not local. This casino is only for local. Oh, it's a discrimination law. And they were like, no, we don't understand what you say now. And I was like, come on, okay. Just take my money back and I will leave. I will not come here again. Some casinos, some people, they use very, very scary tactics. Not for you to come back and play.
Can you tell us about some more of those kind of things that happened, some of the bad experiences?
Oh, yeah, okay. A bad experience that I had was that my brother's bike suddenly one night caught fire. and there was a surveillance camera, and it was not an accident. One guy, 4 o'clock in the morning, with hat and hoodie, came. He put gasoline and he burned my brother's bike, because my number plates of my car, it shows that I'm living there. So yeah, unfortunately,
wow.
I had, it was a clear message that we don't want your action anymore here. Yeah, unfortunately, these things happen.
Have you been back room? I mean, in the States, what tends to happen is them dragging you in the back room. Does that happen in Europe, or have you experienced that?
No, there's no need. First of all, in Europe, like I told you, they know from the first moment who you are, because giving an ID is mandatory. So what happens is that when they realized that you play with advantage, they just try to do whatever they do, whatever they can to create a very bad, losing game for you. And if you continue play for some reason, because you find some weak shuffling, because there is loss rebates, the second step that they will do is that they will cut your loss rebates. For example, when I was playing in Cyprus, after some months, it's every casino, day after day, they were like, you know what? You are welcome to play here, but we cannot take loss rebates anymore. And I was like, yeah, okay, no problem. And after, they just come to you one day and they are like, you know what? Unfortunately, the department of management of this casino decided that you are blacklisted in card games. So you are more welcome to play roulette, slots, dots, I don't know what, but no blackjack for you.
So yeah, those are the nice places.
Yeah, I really like, because they come and they give you some kind of feeling that you are too good for us. Yeah, okay. But also in Europe, there is some variety of blackjack games with different rules. I will just refer to one that it's very popular and very famous. It's extra doubling on free cards. So it's 6 decks, it's 10-17, it's surrender against everything but the dealer's ace. But, for example, you have an 8. No, you have a 6. Dealer has a 5. You can double down for the original bet. And if, for example, you catch a deuce, you can triple down again.
So let's say you have a bet of 1 and you double down the first time. So now you have 2. When you double the second time, do you go to 4 or you only up to 3?
No. So if the original bet is $25, your first double is more $25. Now you have $50 on the table. You have the ability to make an extra doubling on the third card, but it must be the initial amount.
Okay.
That you, the $25.
So you're up to 75.
Exactly.
And does the house take something away for this, or
nothing?
It's just regular 3 to, it's like, because in some Spanish 21 games you can do this, but
it's regular blackjack. They just have this different rule that works very good for you. It creates positive game of the top. It's very good. The only problem that a lot of people, they don't understand that this small difference adds variance, because you push more money to the table.
Sure.
Generally, yeah. It creates variance. And also in Europe, there are other games that they are better even from blackjack. For example, there is a poker game. It's called Russian Poker. You play against the dealer. So there is 1 deck, 3 or 4 people, they are sitting on the table. everybody's receiving 5 cards and the dealer. The dealer is showing only 1 card and the remaining last, they are closed. You cannot see what he has, but you can see what all the other players they have. So, for example, if you have a pair of ace and there is no ace anywhere outside, you have the ability to give an original bet and exchange 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 cards and create again a new hand. Yeah. So it's a very, very good game. It's a very good game.
We had that in the States. They called it lunar poker. But that game was very, very popular. That was the most popular game in Russia when I played in Russia.
I totally agree.
Unfortunately, I didn't know someone, you know, when I was there, I didn't have a laptop and internet and those things, and I didn't have a way to contact someone who could analyze it at the time. But
no, this game, this Russian poker, you can find in Cyprus, you can find in some other countries of Europe, and all the old school card counters, but they don't count cards anymore, they are into that game right now.
When I went to Russia, they would allow you to play 7 spots.
Amazing.
So you could see 35 cards plus the dealer's up card.
Yeah. It's this game is profitable. It's positive, even if you can see your next guy's card. If you are playing 2 people on the table, only with two people on the table, it's slightly positive. It's profitable. So with 7 cards, with 7 players, like you refer, I think it's going to be like ATM, kind of.
Now we're close to running out of time. If any of our audience were thinking about getting into card counting, do you have any advice for them?
Yeah, if I have some advice. Well, they have to do it fast, one for all. What I mean, don't burn yourself, don't tire yourself building slowly bankroll. Yeah, I know that a lot of people, they don't have the luxury to find somehow a huge amount of money and go and play. But my advice would be just do it once and for good. Don't do it slowly, because in these 10 years that I play blackjack, like a lot of counters, I destroy small bankrolls. I burn small bankrolls with small mistakes. And I did it again and again. And after, when I improve my game, I start making like a snowball, you know, creating more and more and more. But it's very tiring. It's very tiring. It's going to burn you. Yeah, my opinion is that you have to do it as long, the less that you can, and to be you have to extract the most EV in the less time that you can from inside casinos. That's it. That's my opinion.
So it sounds like you're saying study more before you start.
Yeah.
Get really good. Hit them hard, and then go do something else with your life.
Yeah, be very good, prepared. Understand, know the game, don't discover while you are playing, have a decent bankroll to play strong from the first day. Don't start with small bets and waiting for your bets to get bigger as your bankroll gets bigger. It takes time. It takes time. It takes energy. It will eat your soul. It's very, very tiring. In the beginning, it's nice. You are like, yeah, I'm James Bond. Yeah, I'm James Bond. But the reality... The reality, no, you are not James Bond. You are just an average card counter who's trying to grow up his bankroll. And do it fast and enjoy your life outside the casinos. There are other things to do. That's my opinion.
Thank you very much, Stefan. It was a pleasure talking to you. the end of our shows, we have a recommended section. Richard, do you have a recommended for us today?
Yeah, my recommended is a show I just binged on Netflix called Startup. And it's a thriller about this group of people, an unlikely pairing of three people who are creating a new cryptocurrency. And, you know, there's like a bad FBI guy and drug dealers. And, you know, so it's a thriller right up my kind of alley. So, you know, the third season gets a little crazy and they do fall into the Hollywood thing of, you know, the greatest genius coders are all hot girls, you know, and the men are all Hollywood handsome. But anyway, I really enjoyed it and I binged three seasons of it pretty quickly.
Very good. And I have two separate shows, movies, that I got them both streamed for free on Canopy. Canopy is spelled with a K. It's a free streaming service sponsored by public libraries. So if you have a library card, you can get a Canopy subscription. And the first one was a movie I saw before, and it was the 1979 movie Hair. This movie is set in 1967, has a country bumpkin, Claude, who arrives in New York a few days before he's set to enter the army and then go to Vietnam. Claude runs into a group of charming hippies in Central Park and hooks up with them for a while. The left-right political divide was just as big in 1967 as it is today, probably bigger, but it was different. What was politically okay then is not politically okay now, and vice versa. But this is a happy musical. It largely takes no political stand, skewers everybody a little bit, and it's a lot of fun. The second movie I saw on Canopy this last weekend is current. It came out in April of 21, and it's called Together, Together. The theme is a mid-40-year-old bachelor hired a mid-20-year-old lady to be a surrogate so he doesn't have to go through life childless. The emotions of both of them change significantly over the first trimester, second trimester, third trimester, and at birth. And it's an interesting process to watch.
Who's in that one?
I wish you hadn't asked me that. I can look it up. Okay. But you can look it up yourself. But
I will. Yeah.
It's not people. Is Patty Griffith, is she a 25-year-old?
I don't know. Yeah, I haven't heard of that one, so I will look for it. I loved Hair, by the way. I've seen the play, I don't know, three or four times. So, yeah, I love the play, love the movie. But it's really our generation kind of thing, too.
Yeah. And more my generation than yours. In 1967, I was 20. And you were younger than that.
I was younger than that, but, you know, I still was eligible for the draft to go to Vietnam. So I was the last year of the lottery when they were pulling your birthday like lottery tickets, only bad lottery tickets. So,
yeah. Yeah, but that was after 67. But anyway, yeah. But it's a fun movie. The songs are charming and ridiculous and lots of dancing, lots of interesting characters. All right. Thank you, Stefan. Thank you, Richard. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good day.